Morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Hey, finishing up the Masechta today. Yes, Hashem. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf, Ben Lamed Zeich, Nishma, Flores, Lubin Zaltzman. We are on the very bottom of Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. Okay, well, knowing that today's Daf is going to be short, so we allowed ourselves a little bit of yesterday's Daf so that we could try to catch up. Very nice of the Daf Yomi to just give us a little bit of Daf today. So we have time. Just one thing from yesterday, as we discussed, I discussed a little bit with this with Ben afterwards, and I'm just going to go quickly, or maybe not so quickly, but I'm going to go over historically what happened to the mitzvah of shofar. The Gemara yesterday said, it was a lengthy Gemara yesterday, that told us that there's a mitzvah to blow the shofar nine times, because there are three truers that are mentioned. There actually, I'm going to really simplify this part of the discussion. There are three truers that are mentioned in the Torah. Two are mentioned by Rosh Hashanah. One of them is mentioned by Yovel. But but basically the conclusion of the Gemara is that because the truer is mentioned three times, so there's a mitzvah to blow the shofar. The truer sound three times. Every truer sound has a tekiah on the front and the tekiah on the back end. So every truer is really bookended by tekiah. So it's tekiah, truer, tekiah. And we do that three times, you have fulfilled the mitzvah of shofar. So really, in the Torah, there's a mitzvah to blow the shofar nine times. That is an oversimplification. If you remember yesterday's daf, there are some opinions amongst the Tanaim that not even nine times is a mitzvah to blow shofar in the Torah. It could be that only six times is a mitzvah in the Torah, and it could be that only three times is a mitzvah in the Torah. Either way, let's just deal with the number nine. It's a really simple number to deal with. Nine times is a mitzvah to blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. And meanwhile, we hear the shofar a lot. How come? How can we hear the shofar so much on Rosh Hashanah and not just the nine simple times that are mentioned over here? So number one, we go back to the Gemara that we ended with yesterday, and that is the institution that was made by Rabbi Abahu. If you see the Gemara in the bottom of Lamed Aleph, so Rabbi Abahu says, look, we're not particularly sure what that broken sound is supposed to sound like. It could sound just like a staccato, what we colloquially refer to as a trua, which is like nine short blasts, or it could be a little bit of a more prolonged moaning sound, what we colloquially refer to as a shvarim sound, or it could be a combination of the both. It could be a shvarim and a trua. So therefore, what we do is we do all three permutations just to cover our bases. So therefore, we do tekiah, trua, tekiah three times. We do tekiah, shvarim, tekiah three times. And we do tekiah, shvarim, trua, tekiah three times. There is a fourth permutation, which the Gemara acknowledges, but the Gemara says that we don't have to worry about. And that would be tekiah, trua, shvarim, tekiah. So that we don't, that's a permutation the Gemara says that's just simply not for entertainment, just not a consideration, the Gemara said yesterday. So therefore, we're left with only three permutations, and that's what we do. Considering that that's what we do, so now we have expanded the blowing of the shofar from 9 to 27. Just for the purposes of accounting, instead of saying 27, I'm just going to call it 30. Why do I do that? Because the shvarim trua sound will count that as 2. It's an accounting issue. It's not super critical to, but just for our purposes, let's call that 30. So in other words, it's 3 times 9 plus 3 times 9 plus 4 times 9. So that gets us now to a total of 30 blasts. So now we're up to the number 30. Okay, Ben asked me the question yesterday after the daf, and that is why what happened before Rabbi Abahu? Meaning it's a little bit difficult to understand. They didn't know how to blow the shofar by the time they got to Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abahu is an Amora, living in Eretz Yisrael, circa 3rd century, circa. What happened? Meaning they forgot how to blow shofar. Now, truth of the matter is, I guess you can ask this question by a number of mitzvahs in the Torah. Who's right in terms of the tefillin? Rashi right? Is Rabbi Natan right? And what did they do before Rashi and Rabbi Natan? So it's not an unusual question, but certainly it's a poignant question regarding shofar. Shofar, one of the seminal events of the year, the blowing of the shofar, and it's kind of strange that they kind of lost track of what's the right way to make that broken sound in the middle. So this is not a new question. This question was already dealt with by the Rishonim, and the truth of the matter is the question was already dealt with by the Gaonim. So a number of Rishonim quote the Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon, one of the Gaonim of 9th, 10th century, and Rav Haigon says, and I told this over to Ben yesterday, so he introduces an idea that the Torah is not particular about the broken sound, meaning the broken sound could be either a trua or a shvarim, or a Shvarim Trua. Meaning it's not that there was a absolute way to make the broken sound in the middle. There was a there was diversity, if you will, of ways to blow the shofar in the middle, and basically any one of those sounds would be acceptable. What did Rabbi Abahu do? Rabbi Abahu wanted to create a standardization and a uniformity amongst the Jewish people. So therefore, he has every Jewish community blowing all three sounds. So just to create a uniformity. That's where Rav Haigon explains the evolution of this going from 9 to 30. Okay, not all Rishonim agree with Rav Haigon, but that's a very basic idea. Okay, now, just a couple more words about what happened to us, meaning in terms of the proliferation of the blowing of the shofar, because nobody stops at 30, meaning we all do more than 30. So how can we all do more than 30? So this is based on the following. I mentioned this a number of times already, but it bears repeating. The principal blowing of the shofar happens during Musaf. Okay, what we do as a Jewish community is that we blow shofar before Musaf. Okay, when did that start? Unclear. Why did we start doing that? So the Gemara did mention that earlier in the Masechta, back on Tetzvav, Tetzayin. So the Gemara does acknowledge that we started this practice of blowing the shofar before Musaf. The Gemara's expression was Kedela Arvev as a Satan to confuse Satan. You take a look at Rashi back there. Rashi says, what does that mean, confusing Satan? It's a difficult concept to understand in general. So Rashi over there says that by blowing an additional more times than when we need to blow, so we are showing our love for mitzvos, and therefore Satan has less to prosecute us about. Okay, that's how Rashi understands the Gemara. But we now have this practice where we blow the shofar before Musaf. It's what the Gemara refers to as Tekiyas de Miyushav. It's the blowing of the shofar where we sit down. Say, not the best way to describe it, considering the fact that we all stand up. maybe once upon a time, huh? Right, correct. You're reminding me because you mentioned this to me before. I should have remembered. But anyway, but we Ashkenazim, we stand up. But okay, in other words, there must have been a point in time where we all sat down for these tekiyos. Again, these were added. The principal blowing of the shofar is done during Musaf. It is clear from our Gemara, the one we did yesterday and the one we're about to see later this morning, it's clear from our Gemara that the principal blowing of the shofar is during Musaf, so the blowing of the shofar that we do beforehand is an add-on. In fact, if you take a look at the Baal Mor, who, second time I'm quoting him today, so the Baal Mor says that that was added on at a later period in time. Let's say a woman couldn't stay for all of Musaf, and she wants to hear the shofar, so they instituted that we're going to blow shofar before Musaf so that she can hear the shofar and she can go home. It's fine. It's funny. What we do in shuls, most shuls, is that they blow shofar after davening as well, so that if anyone didn't hear shofar, they can come afterwards as well. But anyway, fine. So we do a round of 30 blasts before Musaf. Okay, that's our practice. And then we blow during Musaf itself. Now, when do we blow during Musaf? So this is open now for a discussion and a debate. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Hasidic community both blow shofar during the silent Shmoneh Esrei, meaning you're saying your Shmoneh Esrei, as we'll learn. A set is blown during Malchios, a set is blown during shofars, and a set is blown during Zichronos. So the Sephardic community and the Hasidic community, so they blow during the silent Shmoneh Esrei. I grew up blowing during the silent Shmoneh Esrei. I grew up in suburbia, New Jersey, and the rabbi of the community was Chabad. He was Lubavitch, and so okay, he's Hasidish. So he had everyone blowing during the silent Shmoneh Esrei. To me, it was strange when I first learned that most Ashkenazi communities don't blow. So, but okay. Anyway, so the Sephardic community blows during the Shmoneh Esrei, and the Ashkenazim blow during Chazaras Hashas, and then the practice is to blow afterwards. What exactly do we blow during the Shmoneh Esrei? More debate and more machlokas. It's if you want to see all this inside in the Rishonim, you can take a look at Tosfos on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. It's a long Tosfos, and it's a lengthy discussion, and I really do want to finish the Masechta, but take a look inside where he discusses how exactly we should be blowing during the Shmoneh Esrei, meaning what set of blasts should be blown during the Shmoneh Esrei. So you see Tosfos 4, customs. There are various customs in terms of what exactly the order of the blowing should be during the silent Shemona Esrei, and furthermore, how much do we blow, how many times do we blow during the Shemona Esrei. Okay. And the last thing I'll mention is that there was a very old custom. It goes back to the Aruch, who's an early Rishon. There's a very old custom that as long as we're blowing as many times as we're blowing, let's get to the number 100. 100 then becomes like a, we're doing 30, and then we're going to do another 30 during Shemona Esrei, and according to the Shulchan Aruch, you're going to do another 30 during the repetition of Shemona Esrei. So you're already at 90 already, so you know what? Let's just get to the number 100. This is an old minhag. Why is there an old minhag to get to 100? So it's based on a medrash. The medrash says that the mother of Sisera ended up crying 100 times. Remember the Gemara that we saw a couple days ago, that the mother of Sisera was one of the sources of the broken sound, right? Because the language that's used in the Navi and Shoftim is Tiyavev. So Nishkafa Bechalon, she looked out the window and she was crying in the word that was used, Tiyavev. And the measure says that she cried 100 times, and so therefore we blow the shofar corresponding to the 100 times that she cried. And then you'll probably hear at one point in your life or another, the rabbi darshaning, that's a funny place to learn the source of a blowing 100 times. The mother of Sisera was not a fan of the Jewish people. She was... So it's a strange place, and you'll hear at one point in time a drasha or two about how could that possibly be the source of our custom of blowing 100 times. So okay, that's just a very very rough sketch of the history, so if you will, of the blowing of the shofar. But when all is said and done, the magic number is 9. We're on the bottom of Lamed Aleph. So if let's say you didn't go to shul, or let's say a woman didn't go to shul, and she wants to hear shul for 30. 30 is the number. Because basically what you're going to do is you're going to blow 9 blasts in 3 different ways, in 3 different permutations. So you get to 30. And then after that, the whole thing is not the Rabban, the whole thing is Minhag, meaning Minhagim, after that. Right.
How do you get to 30? 9 blasts times 3.
It's 9 plus 9 plus 12. It's an accounting issue. That Shvarim Tshuva is counted as... Because the Shvarim Tshuva is counted as 2. So Tkiah, Shvarim Tshuva, Tkiah, so that's 4. So 4 times 3 is 12. It's an accounting issue. It's not... I'll tell you about. We'll go afterwards. I'm confusing you with the 30 and 27. I'm sorry, but afterwards I'll go over it with you. Okay, Taka Brishon Amashach Mishnia Kishtayim. Okay, you remember what we saw back in the Gemara? The Gemara had a discussion. The Mishnah had a discussion of blowing a long tekiah, then making a broken sound, and then making a really long tekiah. In fact, that next long tekiah could really count as 2 tekiahs. The Mishnah says you don't count it as 2, but rather you count it as 1 because you didn't break in the middle. That's what we learned back in the Mishnah. Amar Rav Yochanan Shmamina. Sorry. Shama Teisha Tkios B'Teisha Shaos B'Yom. Yatsa. Rav Yochanan says, let's imagine. It's a strange scenario, but let's say you heard 9 blasts over the course of Rosh Hashanah, but really with long breaks. I mean really long breaks. In other words, over the course of 9 hours of the day of Rosh Hashanah, every hour on the hour, kind of like a clock in the house. So you hear a shofar sound, right? So tekiah hour number 1, trua hour number 2, tekiah hour number 3, and that's the way you're hearing shofar. So really, with long breaks in the middle. So you have fulfilled your obligation, says Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, teisha tekiahs b'teisha shaos b'yom yatza. Tanya Namiachi, the Gemara says, not only is this a statement by Rav Yochanan, but additional to that, it's also a Braisa. Shama Teisha Tekiyos B'Teisha Shaos B'Yom Yatsa. Miteisha B'nei Adam Ke'echad Lo Yatsa. So hearing it with big breaks in the middle, you fulfilled your obligation. But hearing 9 sounds simultaneously from 9 different people, you have not fulfilled your obligation. Tekiyah Mizeh V'Tru Mizeh Yatsa. Now, let's say you hear a little bit of an orchestra, but everyone plays at different times. So let's say you have 9 people in the shul blowing shofar, and with synchronicity, so he'll blow, and then he'll blow, and then he'll blow. So that's okay. That's you fulfilled your obligation. And unfortunately, you get to see this in shuls every now and then on Rosh Hashanah, where the Baal Tokea kind of runs out of steam and runs out of gas, and somebody else picks up the shofar and he starts blowing. And okay, so in other words, but that's fine. You have you fulfilled your obligation. You don't have to hear from one person. Ve'afilu b'seirugin, ve'afilu kolayim kulo. And even if it is seirugin, right? That's the term that we saw earlier, just a couple days ago in the daf, meaning with long breaks in the middle. So, and even if it takes you all day to hear online blast, you still fulfill your obligation. Okay, so we have now a statement by Rav Yochanan. The Braisa supports this as well, that you have you don't have to hear it in succession, but there can be long breaks.
You just use the term yasa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say just by hearing one, the first one, that's it.
Now you have to hear nine. I mean, the mitzvah is to hear nine blasts, meaning three truas with tekiah in the front and the back on each one of them. So it's total. It's a total of nine.
So the first 9 years, you're
yes. Yeah, correct.
So
nine.
You really don't need to
again, that goes back to, again, that's going from, that's how we go from nine to 100. Umi amar Rav Yochanan ha'achiv amar Rav Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak b'hal v'migilam shal k'day ligmor s'kula chozel rosh. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. Let's go to other mitzvot where I have to go through an entirety of a piece. Let's say halal. Let's say Megillah. Okay, there are mitzvot. Now, they are mitzvot d'Rabbana, they're not mitzvot d'Oraisa, but still the point is going to be made. If, let's say, you read the Megillah, and you take a break in the Megillah, intermission. Okay, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, we're halfway through the Megillah. Okay, we all need a breather. Okay, let's take a break. And we break, and the Gemara quotes, in the name of Rav Yochanan, mind you, which is why it's such a strong question, that you take, let's say, an hour break. You haven't fulfilled your obligation. A 5 minute break you have. What's the difference between 5 minutes and an hour? Aside from 55 minutes, the difference is that a 5 minute break, you wouldn't be able to read the Megillah in 5 minutes. An hour, you could read the entire Megillah for an hour. So an hour is a significant break. And if you take that kind of break, you have not fulfilled your obligation. So now we have is a blatant contradiction between Rav Yochanan and Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan, when it comes to the mitzvah of shofar again, the whole mitzvah of shofar to hear is nine blasts. So, presumably, that would mean nine blasts in succession with no breaks, with no significant breaks in the middle. And meanwhile, when it comes to Megillah and Hallel, Rav Yochanan says, if you take a significant break in the middle, you have not fulfilled your obligation. So the Gemara says, Lokasha hadideh hadarabeh. So the Gemara gives an answer. It's not elegant. The answer of the Gemara is that his own personal opinion is you have fulfilled your obligation. When he quotes one of his Rebbeim, Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak, he's of the opinion that you have not fulfilled your obligation. He does. Not with Rebbe, by the way. Rabbi Shimon, his Rebbe. Sorry, didn't hear you. So his Rebbe. Good say. It's right. It's a recurring question. I don't know. So now the Gemara says, okay, but I'll give you an anecdote. And in this anecdote, we have Rabbi Abbo, who's walking together with Rabbi Yochanan. And there's a mitzvah to say Kriya Shema in the morning and the evening of every day. And he's saying Kriya Shema. And Kimat L'mavos Metunafos, and he gets to an alleyway. And the alleyway has got waste material in it. It has a foul odor. And we know the halach is that once you're in the vicinity of waste matter and a foul odor, you cannot say Shema. You can't learn Torah for that matter as well, but you cannot say the Shema. So what does he do? Ishtik. So he's quiet, meaning as he's walking, he's saying Shema, but as he's going through the alleyway, so he stops saying Shema. So in other words, he's pausing, he took a break, and Basta Dechalef, Amalu, Maligmor. And now he gets to the end of the alleyway, and he asks the question, well, now can I finish the Shema? Meaning I stopped in the middle, I started the Shema, I stopped in the middle, can I finish the Shema? Rav Yochanan says, well, it depends. If you took a significant break, again, the definition of significant, the amount of time that it would take to say the entire Shema, if you took a significant break, so then you got to go back to the beginning. But if you didn't take a significant break, so then you're okay. You can continue where you left off. Okay, and again, this is Rav Yochanan talking. So again, it's Rav Yochanan saying that if you take a significant break, you have not fulfilled your obligation. So going back to shofar, so we have a difficult time understanding his ruling regarding shofar. Meaning regarding shofar, what did he say? He said that if I blow a shofar nine times over the course of the entire day, meaning in taking an hour break in between each blast, you fulfilled your obligation. It's hard to imagine based on everything we just seen in the name of Yochanan. Hachi kamar le lididi lo svirli. Lidid chadis virlachim shaita kedelik marzkula chazal arosh. So the Gemara says, you know, Rav Yochanan understood who his audience was. Meaning Rav Yochanan understood, look, if you're asking me my personal opinion, I don't feel a significant break is going to break up the two sections. So if you ask me what my personal opinion is, it doesn't even matter how long you stop between the first half of Shema and the second half of Shema. You can continue. But I know you don't agree with me on this issue. I know that you, Rabbi Abahu, agree with those who say that a significant break will break it up. And so therefore, I'm responding according to what you believe, not what according to what I feel is correct. So, okay, so the Gemara says, the Gemara stands by the fact that Rav Yochanan, Bidi Evan, if you take a significant break in the middle, you still fulfill your obligation. And the Gemara notes that a number of Amoraim and Tanaim disagree with Rav Yochanan on this issue. Tana Rabbanan, Tkios e Ma'akva Zuazu, Brachos e Ma'akva Zuazu. Tkios are not Ma'akiv. This expression of Eino Ma'akiv comes up a lot in the Gemara. The expression of Eino Ma'akiv means as follows. They're not essential to one another. Now, I'll give you a classic example of what is Ma'akiv. The Dalaminim, four species on Sukkos. On Sukkos, the Torah tells us that we have to take Lulav, Esrog, Hadassah, Maravos. Okay, what if I go to the store and I come home with three? Three out of four is not bad, right? In baseball, you consider that to be a good day. So so what if I come home with three out of four? So that's no good. That's zero. Meaning, when it comes to the mitzvah of Lulav, they're Ma'akev. They hold each other back, which means that you need all four. Okay, the Gemara over here says that tkios are not ma'akev zeh et zeh. They don't hold each other back. Now, at the surface level, what that means, seemingly, is that let's say I heard a tkia, but not a trua. I heard tkia trua, but not the final tkia. So it sounds like it's not ma'akev zeh et zeh. And brachos ain ma'akev zeh et zeh. And the brachos also don't hold each other back. Now, when it says brachos over here, presumably it's referring to the Shemona Esrei. Okay, this is really difficult to understand, meaning what exactly does that mean? You could blow some of the tekios, and that would be good. so no. So Rashi says that's not what it means. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says that when we're talking here about tekios and brachos, we're not talking about Rosh Hashanah, at least not the first statement. If you see Rashi inside, Rashi, tekios, or brachos, da alma, kigon tanios, Ein ma'akvin zeh zeh im birich v'lo taka. Rashi says the first statement is talking about a fast day. On a fast day, there's going to be blowing of the shofar, right? Tomorrow we're starting Masechta Tanis. We'll see a little bit of that. Not tomorrow's daf, but we'll see a little bit of that in the Masechta, right? It's a pasuk in, we just started in Parshas Balozcha, that Yom Simchaschem, Moadechem, Rosh Chachechem, and where do we get to the part of also in times of trouble? Uvi, okay, I don't have a chumash in front of me. I'm sorry. Anyway, right? If the Jews are going through a very bad time, usually, I mean, you'll see tomorrow. Usually, it's a reference to an absence of rain. So you blow in the chatzotzos. And furthermore, we'll learn in the next Masechta, not only do we blow on the chatzotzos on days where there's a calamity, there's a tragedy, but we also fast, and there's more Shemona Esrei. More brachas are added to the Shemona Esrei. Okay? We will discuss that in the next Masechta. We were so unfamiliar with this, meaning we never institute this additional Shemona Esrei in the time of need. But we'll learn it in the next Masechta. So the Rashi says that's what the first statement over here is talking about. It's not talking about Rosh Hashanah. When it's talking about a generic fast day, so the brachas and the tekiyos are not ma'akev. You could do one without the other. However, now let's move on. Let's go to the next part of the statement. Tana Rabbanan, Tkios ein ma'akvan zuazu, brachos ein ma'akvan zuazu. Tkios a brachos shal Rosh Hashanah v'shal Yom Kippurim me'akvos. But when you get to Rosh Hashanah and when you get to Yom Kippur, and again, when we say Yom Kippur, we're talking about Yovel, right? We blow shofar on Yom Kippur, but that's at the end of Yom Kippur. That's when Yom Kippur is over. That's a minhag. That's a custom that we've developed. But when the Gemara here is talking about blowing shofar on Yom Kippur, it's talking about Yovel of Yom Kippur. So there, the brachos and the tekiyos are ma'akvot zeh et zeh.
It's the same. I mean, there you said, right?
Huh? It's the same set, right.
Is this a major problem for Rabbi Yochanan to be ma'akev and you take a break like that?
Well, no. Rabbi Yochanan, no. Ma'akev just simply means I need them all. In terms of when I'm doing them, so then you can go back to Rav Yochanan. You'll do it with breaks. but I need them all. So the are ma'akiv zeh, they need one another. Now, it's not totally clear whether when the Gemara says that the ma'akiv, meaning here's what is clear, meaning the shofars on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are ma'akiv. I need to hear all nine. 8 out of 9 is no good. 7 out of 9 is no good. I need to hear all 9. Okay, that's clearly what it means. And again, for our practices, we do 3 different permutations, so you need to hear all 30. Okay, so that's clear. What is not totally clear is, does he also mean, and I'm sorry, and the brachos are ma'akiv zed zed, which means on Rosh Hashanah, it is insufficient, let's say the Shliach Tzibur, he does the first 3 correctly, he does the last 3 correctly, and let's say he only does machios and zichronos. It's hard to imagine. But he forgets shofros. Okay? That's no good. Meaning, even though he covered 8 out of the 9 brachos in Shemona Esrei, but that's not good. You need to hit all 9 brachos in order to fulfill your obligation in Shemona Esrei. That clearly is, that's a given. Meaning, that's clearly what it means. Does he also mean that the brachos and the shofar are ma'akiv one another? Meaning that in order for tefillah to work, I need shofar. And in order for shofar to work, I need tefillah. Is that also what he means? That's not terribly clear. The Rishonim, most Rishonim, say no. That's not what he means. That cannot be. Meaning, we could blow shofar without Shemona Esrei, and you could do Shemona Esrei if in fact you don't have a shofar. But it's possible, right? Some Rishonim, some people say that in Rashi, it's possible that the brachos and the tefillah are ma'akiv zedzeh, meaning that they also are attached at the hip. The Gemara says, I'm sorry, back to the Gemara, my taima, amarab, amarakash baruch, amalafana, Rosh Hashanah, machios, rechonos, v'shofros. So the Gemara says, well, the reason why on Rosh Hashanah, the 3 additional brachos that we place in the middle are so essential is because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, meaning that the 3 of them work together as a tandem. But tandem usually is a reference to 2. But in other words, they're all connected. Malchios Kadesh Tam Lichuni, Malchios so that we coronate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we accept Him as our God, as our King. Latova. Kadesh Tam Lichuni Alechem. Zichronos Kadesh Yavol Afanai Zichronaichem. Now Zichronos so that we go through the memories of what they did, Latova, and hopefully we'll remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of all the good things that we did, and Uvama, and what are we going to, and how are we going to petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu? B'shofar. So we do so with shofar. So those 3 components of the Shemona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah are all thematically necessary. We coronate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of our actions, and we supplicate HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the mechanism of shofar. That's all 3 of them are necessary, so therefore, they're ma'akev zed zed. Continuing in the Gemara, Mishu Baruch V'Acha, Kach Nisnam Elo Shofar, Tokea, Umeria V'Tokea. Let's say, for whatever reason, during Musaf, there was no shofar. We didn't have a shofar. Okay, came unprepared, whatever the case was. It was lost, and then, so fine, so we go through Musaf, and then you find a shofar afterwards, so what do? That's very simple. You blow the shofar after Musaf. So, time of the Havalei Shofar Mi'ikara, Havalei Shofar Mi'ikara, Ki Shamaluhu, Asir Abrachos, Shamaluhu. So the Gemara says, okay, it's pretty clear from the Mishnah, Gemara makes a very simple diuk, which is that if you have a shofar during Musaf, so then what are you going to do? You're going to blow the shofar during Musaf. Okay, it's a simple diuk, it's a straightforward diuk. Rapapa Bar Shmuel Kamutz Luye. So Rapapa Bar Shmuel gets up to daven. So Amalei L'Shamay says to his attendant, Ki Nahir Nolach or Nahir Nolach Takali. So he says, I'm going to give you a signal. Meaning it's pretty clear that this is during the silent Shemona Esrei. Right? Because he's signaling. Well, because he wants to hear the shofar at the right time. I don't remember how it works. In other words, in your shul in Rosh Hashanah. So how do you?
You're benching around a lot to like.
No, I understood, but I understand, but this is for the purpose of making the shofar.
It's part of it.
So what the person who sounds the shofar, is he waiting for a cue, or he just does it when he feels it's the time is right?
He looks around.
Okay. Fine. So kinechino lach takali. So he says, I'll give you the signal. Meaning when we're finished with machios, and when I'm finished with machios, so then you'll blow shofar. So amarle ravelo amarle bechevir. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's only bechevir. The term chevir, Rashi says, it's tzibur. Meaning this idea that we're going to blow shofar during Musaf, that's only when we're davening as a group, as a community, meaning with a minion. Tayinami hachi, kishu shaman shaman al seder, val seder brachas. So when you hear the shofar, so you're going to hear them with the brachas, meaning with the three brachas of machis, zechonos, and shofros, and bamed dvar mamor, but then the brisa continues. When is that true? Bechever ear. That's only as a minion. Avashalo bechever ear, shaman ala seder, ushalo ala seder. But if you're not davening with a minion, so then when do you make the sound? So the brisa says, the simple reading of the brisa is your discretion. Could be during Shemona Esrei, could be not during Shemona Esrei. But in other words, there is no requirement to blow during Shemona Esrei. But if you're davening with on Rosh Hashanah with a minion, so then you blow the shofar during the Shemona Esrei. So brachos. I'm sorry. Fisholo alaseder brachos. V'yachish lo taka chaver tokei alo. Now a person who didn't hear shofar, so chaver tokei alo. So in other words, you didn't hear shofar and you're not quite competent to blow shofar, so fine. So you go to somebody else and say, look, I need to hear shofar. Can you blow shofar me? So a person didn't make a bracha. So his friend doesn't make a bracha. And it's a mitzvah on the tokeh more than it is on the mevarech. Ketzad, so the Gemara gives an example. The Brisa gives an example. Shtei ayaros be'achas token ve'achas mevarchin. Hochel ha'makom she'token ve'in hochel ha'makom she'mevarchin. Let's say I have two cities. In one city they're blowing shofar, and the other city they're davening. Okay, it's a funny scenario. But basically, we have two choices in front of us. So either we're going to daven musaf, or we're going to hear shofar. So hochel ha'makom she'token and hochel ha'makom she'mevarchin. So the Gemara says, so what are we going to do? We're going to go to the community which is blowing shofar, not to the community that's davening musaf. Okay, usually that's not one of our choices. Usually we have both. But the Gemara says, pshita, that is an obvious choice. Ha'daraisa, ha'darabanan. So the Gemara says, look, blowing shofar is a mitzvah daraisa. Davening musaf is a mitzvah derabanan. Tefillah is a mitzvah derabanan. Now, yes, the Rambam's of the opinion that tefillah is a mitzvah daraisa, but the Rambam's position is only one time a day, and chances are you already daven in the morning. Either way, let's say it simply, like most Rishonim say it, tefillah is a mitzvah derabanan. So therefore, if my choices are to hear shofar, which is a mitzvah daraisa, to daven or to daven with a minion, which is a mitzvah derabanan, so shofar obviously is going to take precedence. So lo tzricha da'afagav da'avan da'vahasafek. So the Gemara ratchets up the chiddush. The Gemara says, look, chiddush will be as follows. Let's say I have two cities that I could turn to on Rosh Hashanah, one where they're only going to blow shofar, and one where they're only going to daven. So again, if that's my two choices, strange choice, but if those are my two choices, shofar is going to go over davening. Shofar is a mitzvah daraisa. Davening is a mitzvah derabbanan. Fine. But the Gemara says, but we'll even ratchet up one step further. Let's say I'm going to go to a place where they're possibly going to blow shofar. I'm not even sure. But possibly they're going to go shofar, or I'm going to go to a place where they're definitely going to daven. So here now, okay, now the question gets a little bit more exciting, because now it's not that clear cut. A safek daraisa or a vade derabbanan. So the Gemara says that's a chiddush. It's a big chiddush that I would rather risk the opportunity, the risk of reward of doing a mitzvah daraisa of shofar rather than definitely doing a derabbanan. Okay, so
the universal rule.
Good question. I'm wondering the same thing myself. I don't know.
The other thing, the fact that when you do something regularly, you have to keep that clarity.
Right, correct. Correct, but the deraisa derabbanan is really it's such a clear distinction that the Gemara.
Right,
right, right. Okay. Apparently not, meaning you're right. If he could daven by himself, so then, you know, right. Davening with a tzibur obviously has a higher, you know, it's a higher value, but you're right. But again, just the Gemara is just dealing with it from a more conceptual, analytic standpoint of, you know, given though those are my two choices. Okay, let's go on. We're on the bottom of the Amud. We are two dots on the bottom of Lamed Alamed Al Lamed Alamed Beis. And Kishem Shishleich Sibur Chayv Kach Kol Yachid VeYachid. Okay, you remember the Mishnah? The Mishnah brought down a debate between the Tanakam and Rami Gamliel in terms of who's davening Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. Every individual or just the Shleich Sibur? Tanya, what were the positions? Everyone remember? Excuse me. Tanakama says everybody. Tanakama says kishem shishlech tzibur chayev kach kol yachav yachav chayev. Just like the shlech tzibur davens for the amud, so does everybody else. And Rabbi Gamliel Omer shlech tzibur motzi es rabbi midei chavasu. And Rabbi Gamliel says no, the shlech tzibur davens on behalf of everybody. And now what we're going to get in this brisa, we're going to now look at a tosefta together, and we're going to get a little more dialogue between the two parties. So Tanya Amru lo le Rabbi Gamliel advarech alam tzibur mispalim. So they say to Rabbi Gamliel, look, can we ask you a simple question? The community is davening, why? So Amr lahem k'dei lahasir shleich tzibur tefila so. Meaning, what do you mean? Why is the community davening? Community is davening so that the shleich tzibur can prepare Shmona Esrei. Meaning that, look, remember back in the good old days, the davening, we've mentioned this a couple times already, davening was a little more ad-lib, a little more extemporaneous, and it wasn't as set as it was nowadays. But still, the shliach tzibur is going to daven once during his, what we would call the silent Shmoneh Esrei, just to get ready, just to get prepared. And then he'll daven for the Amud again, but the reason why he davened the silent Shmoneh Esrei is just to prepare himself. So kedei lahasir shliach tzibur tefila so. Amar lahem Rabbi Gamliel l'divreichem. So Rabbi Gamliel says to them, according to you, lama shliach tzibur yori lifnei ateva. Look, everyone's davening according to you, so the shliach tzibur is going to daven. Why? So Amar lo kedei lahasir shein abaki. So the response of the chachamim is, oh, that's easy. Meaning, not everyone knows how to daven, right? Let's say a lot of people know how to daven, but not everybody. So there are people who are coming to shul who don't know how to daven. That's why they're shliach tzibur repeating the Shemoneh Esrei. So Amar lahem kishem shemotzi shein abaki kach motzi es abaki. So Rabbi Gamliel, in this discussion, gets the last word, and his last word is, okay, well, once we have the shliach tzibur davening the Shemoneh Esrei, and he's being yotzei those who don't know how to daven, so can he just as well be yotzei those who do know how to daven? Okay, so we have a Tosefta, and the Tosefta here speaks out a little bit better the two sides of this debate of should we just have the Shlech Tzibur davening the Musaf, or should we have everyone davening and then the Shlech Tzibur davening as well? Okay, just as an interesting aside, you ever daven with a minion that's not your nusach? I mean, Baruch Hashem, in our shul we have different nuschos in our shul. So the ever daven for an amud for a minion that's not your nusach. So let's say, right, it happens, you're a Sephardi, you daven in the Ashkenaz minion, you have to daven for the amud. Okay, so you daven in Ashkenazic minion, daven Ashkenaz. Good. And Shmoneh Esrei, obviously, you're gonna say the Shmoneh Esrei for the Ashkenazim. When you daven, you're silent Shmoneh Esrei. Right? Should you daven Sephardic or should you daven Ashkenaz? Right? So it's you can imagine it's not clear. Right? There's no clear answer to that question. But a number of poskim look at our Gemara over here, and a number of poskim say you're right. Correct. In other words, what was Rami Gamliel's argument that even though the Sheikh Tzibur is going to daven again, but he's going to daven the silent Shmoneh Esrei to help him prepare for. That which he's going to say in public. So in other words, for him, the silent Shmoneh Esrei is really preparation. So a number of poskim say, right, I'm pretty sure Moshe Feinstein says this, right, I don't have... yeah, okay, no, I understand, I'm just, it's open for debate, but I'm just giving you like one side of the issue, just because of the Gemara over here. So he says you should daven whatever the tzibur is davening, because it'll prepare you, it'll help you prepare. So now when you're repeating the Shmoneh Esrei, you'll be a little more comfortable with the words. Okay. Anyway, back to the Gemara. Okay, sorry, we just went through the Tosefta. Amar Rabba Bar Chanan Amar Rav Yochanan, Modim Chacham L'Rabbi Gamliel. The Chachamim agree to Rabbi Gamliel. Modim Chachamim L'Rabbi Gamliel. So Rav Amar Adayni Machlokas, and Rav says no, still a Machlokas. Meaning, Rami Gamliel got the last word, and the Tanakh and the Chachamim said what? Well, we don't know. Open for a discussion. So one opinion is Rav Yochanan's opinion is Chachamim ended up agreeing to Rami Gamliel. Rav says no, it's still a Machlokas. Shamay Rabbi Chia Berei the Rabba Bar Nachmani Azal Amar Lashmaite Kama the Rav Dimi Bar Yechinana. The Gemara quotes another statement in the name of Rav, which is it's still a machlokas. So Amalei Rabba Bar Chanan Nami Hachi Kamar Ki Amar Rav Yochanan Lashmaita If Ligala Reish Lakish VeAmar Adayni Machlokas. Reish Lakish also says it's still a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rami Gamliel. So Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Achiva Amar Rabbi Chanan Tzipora Amar Rav Yochanan Hilchasak Rambam Gamliel. The Gemara says, well, it is interesting because Rav Yochanan says that the halacha is like Rambam Gamliel. In of itself, that's interesting. But if you're paskening like Rambam Gamliel, what does that mean? It means that it's still a debate, and Rav Yochanan's taking the position of Rambam Gamliel. So Hilchasak Rambam Gamliel, Mechlal Depligi. So it sounds like it's still a machlok, it's still going to be an argument. As you can well imagine, we don't pass like Rambam Gamliel, meaning we, first everyone davens to themselves, and then we have the Shliach Tzibur davening, but Rav Yochanan, if you asked him, he'd say that the halach is like Rambam Gamliel. Kisa like Rabbi Abba, Kisa like Rabbi Abba, we're on the top of Lamed Hamad Aleph. Rabbi Abba was going out in a boat, and the Chachamim agreed, and it was explained to him that the Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Gamliel regarding Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So the V'halacha Mechal Depligi B'brachos Dechol Hashanah. Now, when it comes to any other time of the year, so there, again, there's a debate between Rambam Gamliel and the Chachamim, meaning that according to the Chachamim, everybody should daven Shemona Esrei, and then the Shliach Tzibur should repeat. Eni V'amar Rabbi Chanit Tzipori Amar Rav Yochanan Halacha Rambam Gamliel B'brachos Rosh Hashanah V'Shiyom Kippurim. So the Gemara says, but Rav Yochanan says, Halacha Zag Rambam Gamliel, regarding Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Elam Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Man Modim Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, okay, when we say that there's agreement, there's not full agreement, but Rabbi Meir agrees. V'halacha Mechal Depligi. And the Gemara notes that the Chachamim still disagreed. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Bracho Shal Rosh Hashanah V'Shal Yom Kippurim, Shliach Zibra Motzei Rabbi Yidei Chavasim, Divrei Rabbi Meir. That when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so, and we're davening, and just say it's Musaf, but ostensibly could be any Shemana Esrei, so you have the Shliach Zibra saying it, everyone will be listening, and that's how you fulfill your obligation. And whose position is that? So that's Rabbi Meir. So now we see that Rabbi Meir does in fact agree to Rabbi Gamliel. V'chachamim amrin kishen sheshliach zibur chayev kakach kol yachid v'yachid chayev. Okay, so just like the shliach zibur is obligated, so too everyone else is chayev as well. Okay, that's the opinion of the Chachamim. And once again now, when we say that there is agreement by Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it means that Rabbi Meir agrees to Rabbi Gamliel, but not necessarily the Chachamim. They don't agree with Rabbi Gamliel, and they require everyone to daven individually, and then the Shliach Tzibur to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. Maishna Hani.
What do you think the point of the repetition is, if those people say that he's not davening for them, what's the point of repetition?
Right, so, great. In other words, that's Rambam Gamliel. Again, you're going back to Rambam Gamliel's point. Rambam Gamliel's...
What's the point? If there is language, what's the point of Shliach?
Right, let's say everybody knows. Right, everyone knows how to daven, and everyone's a bucky, and everyone's an expert. So then, I guess, as an institution, all right, I'm just, on the fly, I'm suggesting, as an institution, you don't want to... In other words, you don't want to... What are we going to do? We're going to take a poll right now. We're going to take a survey. Does everyone here know what they're doing? Okay, good. In other words, as an institution, the assumption is not everyone's learning, not everyone knows what they're doing, and so therefore, as a way of ensuring that everyone will fulfill their obligation.
Is that the concept, the number of amens that the person should say they, that's an opportunity
It does provide an opportunity, but... Okay. But I'm not sure if that's the... You're right, it's a benefit, but I'm not sure if that's a causative of the of this institution. Okay. Maishnahani, the Gemara notes that that on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur, so there is more of an argument to say that we should have just the Shliach Tzibur. Say the Shemoneh Esrei, not everybody. So, Ilei Memeshum de Nefishe Krai. So, now maybe the argument is Nefishe Krai. Nefishe Krai, look, the Shemoneh Esrei of Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, it's long. And there's a lot of psukim. And you really have to be proficient in Torah, in Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. And remember, in the good old days, it wasn't even set in terms of what they're going to be saying. So therefore, it could be just simply degree of difficulty. The degree of difficulty on Rosh Hashanah, and I guess we can add Yom Kippur as well, but the degree of difficulty is so high, And it could be, therefore, that the argument could be made that during the rest of the year, where we're davening the same Shema Esrei day in, day out, so we can get it down pretty well. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the assumption is it's very difficult, so therefore we'll only have the Shliach Tzibur say it, and not everybody say it. Maybe that's the reason. So the Gemara says, interesting line of the Gemara coming up right now, the Gemara says, V'hamar Rav Chanan al Amar Rav, the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav, Kevin Shamar of Asarizcha Kasuv Lemor, Shuv Eino Tzarech. Well, the Gemara says, well, you know, you don't have to say all those psukim. Now that's a challenging line of Gemara. You know you don't have to say all those psukim. We spent an entire daf. Yeah, I agree. We spent an entire daf on back on Lamed Beis going over which psukim you should say, which psukim you shouldn't say, what qualifies, what doesn't qualify. So there was a lot of real estate dedicated to this topic of, you know, you need 10 psukim in every section of Machiz, Zichronos, and Shofros. And now from here, the Gemara seemingly says they're not necessary. Okay, it's difficult. In fact, if you take a look at Rashi, Kevin Sha'amar Vesor Secha Kasuv Klummer, Kevin Sha'amar Nasiv and Akriva Fanecha, Kemesvat Zonecha, Kemo, Shekasav Talen Vesor Secha, you just simply make a reference to the Torah, that would be sufficient. Okay. Admittedly, it's difficult. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then this argument that there's so many psukim, and that's why we're just going to have the Shliach Tzibur say the Musaf, and not the people, it's tricky because it's difficult because you don't have to say all the psukim. So the Gemara says, Ela mishum de'avshe brachos. So the Gemara says, but rather the reason why is avshe brachos. What does that mean, avshe brachos? Look at Rashi again. Shari kantesha v'aruchos umatos. Deina kol bekiyim behem. So Rashi says, look, they're really long. Meaning, even without the psukim, even if somehow we can bypass the psukim, still, it's really long. And you really have to be proficient. And that's a simple argument one can make why on Shemona Esrei we'll just have the Shliach Tzibur Davin and not the individuals. V'Rabbi Osai Mefarshim, I'm back in Rashi. L'hadra of Chanana b'machas v'shonos v'shofros v'kashuli. Now Rashi says, now some people are of the opinion, like I suggested a couple minutes ago, that you can dispense with the psukim. So the Rashi says, I find that really hard to imagine. V'kashuli hadalo k'rabbanan v'lo k'rav yochan menuri denan ein pochasim yasaro machios. Rashi says, that's very hard, it's very difficult to imagine. So Rashi over here entertains the possibility that we could just do away with all the psukim, but Rashi says, I really have a hard time doing that. And if that's true, then what did the Gemara mean just a couple of lines ago when the Gemara says, well, you could just dispense with uvasara secha? So Rashi says, that's a reference to the karbanos. But the psukim you still have to say. Okay. Let's do a little bit more, and then we will conclude. Gufa amarav chanan amarav kevin shamarav vasara secha kasuv lemor shuvin sarach. Savar mine hani mila biyachid. Okay, this idea that all you need to say is the Vesara Secha, and you could dispense with, again, according to Rashi, the Karbanos, according to Rashi's Rebbeim, all the Psukim in the sections, whatever you're dispensing with. So the Gemara says, I might have thought, or at least we originally thought that was by an individual, Ava B'tziva Lo. But if you're davening it with a minion, you can't just simply skip those sections of Shemoneh Esrei. Idmar Rav Yeshua ben Levi Echad Yachav Echad Tzibor Kevin Shamar V'Sar Secha Kosev Lemor Shemoneh Esarech. The Gemara says no. This method of skipping the psukim would be true for an individual and would also be true for a community as well. Amar Rav Elazar Olam Yazdir Adam Tilaso V'Acha Kach Yispala. You should prepare before you daven. Meaning, don't go into davening. Back then they didn't have a sitter. Siddurim weren't that popular back then. So you can imagine, meaning you need preparation before you go into davening. So, la'olam, yastir estadam tulaso, and even nowadays we have a sitter, still, right? It's highly recommended. Go over the davening, look it over, see what's coming up, right? Know the meaning. Okay, I can understand when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur where there is there's so much extra and we're so unfamiliar, so I can understand. And Prakim and Yontif as well, I can understand. But every day you have to do that? The Ini v'ahav Rav Yehuda misader tzeluse umatzle. So the Gemara says, well, Rav Yehuda, every time he would daven, meaning not Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but every time he would daven, so he would sit there before davening, look over the davening, prepare the davening, and then he would daven. So presumably this requirement of preparation before davening, looking over the davening, is not just Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Yontav, but it would presumably be every day. The Gemara says, no, not so fast. Shani Rav Yehuda came into Mitas Niyoma, Latas Niyoma, have a matzle, Kiprokim Dami. The Gemara says, no. Rav Yehuda didn't daven every day. That statement is so strange. But the Rav Yehuda didn't daven every day. He davened once every 30 days. So, for him, if davening for him was not a daily activity, he davened once every 30 days, so therefore he needed to look over the davening in order to prepare for the davening. That is just in of itself difficult to understand. What does it mean he davened once every 30 days? There's a requirement to daven every day. According to the Rambam, it's a mitzvah daraisa. According to most Rishonim, it's a mitzvah darabanan, but still a mitzvah to daven every day. So what does that mean that he only davened once every 30 days? So first of all, take a look at the Ramban. So the Rambam says that davening is a mitzvah daraisa. So the Ramban, right, respectfully and strongly disagrees with the Rambam. One of the proofs of the Ramban is this Gemara right here, because this Gemara over here has Rav Yehuda not davening every day. If it's a mitzvah daraisa, Rav Yehuda has no right to be mevatel, to just simply ignore a mitzvah daraisa. So the Ramban says, davening cannot be a mitzvah daraisa as you're saying it. Otherwise, why would Rav Yehuda skip a mitzvah daraisa? Hard to imagine. Okay, it's not easy to imagine they're skipping a mitzvah darabanan, but at least the Ramban says, at least you see, it can't be a mitzvah daraisa. Okay, but anyway, and all right, so. So okay, let's pause over here. Okay, and the last lines of the Gemara, Amar Rav Acha. Okay, we'll save that for a siyum, which we haven't planned, but okay. But that's neither here nor there. Okay, so again, just quickly wrapping it up. So what we saw today is we went over finally the number of times there's a mitzvah to blow shofar. The number is 9. 9 turned into 30, and bizmanenu nowadays 30 has turned into a lot more than 30, and we have an old minig of getting up to 100 blasts. I explained a little bit earlier today. And then the topics that we covered are taking breaks during blowing shofar. Is it acceptable to take a break or not? That's a machlokas in the Gemara, right? We take the position that a significant break would break up the shofar. So no significant break. What does that mean, significant? So the definition is the amount of time that it would have taken to blow from beginning to end. So you cannot take a significant break in the middle. And then we talked about shofar and Rosh Hashanah being essential, meaning 8 out of 9 blasts are no good, 8 out of 9 brachas are no good, you have to do all, they're ma'akiv zedzeh, and finally, the last discussion we had today was the major debate between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim about the silent Shemona Esrei. If we're going to be davening with a minyan and the Shliach Tzibur is going to go over the Shemona Esrei, is there an additional requirement to say the silent Shemona Esrei? So the conclusion for us, of course, is yes, meaning we do, both during the year-round and on Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Gamliel takes the position, not necessary, that once the Shliach Tzibur is going to be davening for the Amud, so then you don't need to say the silent Shemona Esrei. Question of whether the Chachamim agree or disagree with Rabbi Gamliel. We know the conclusion is the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Gamliel, and okay, and then the last thing we discussed today was the possibility of maybe bypassing the psukim in the Musaf Shemona Esrei, which Rashi says it's difficult to imagine. Okay, Adkan.